greetings and may the peace of Christ be with you. Welcome to Holy Family Radio. This is Deacon Jim Thorndale. I'm privileged to be your host today. I warmly invite you to enter into another conversation in living the Catholic life. Here we are in Catholic Schools Week, and we're really going to celebrate the beauty of our Catholic educations. But I want to challenge the parents out there to something that the Lord brought to me, and I want you to think about this. If you were a heart surgeon, a physician, and you were going to perform heart surgery, but you weren't sure of all the nuances of the heart, would you be comfortable in doing that surgery or even trying to pass that along to someone else? Or if you were a dentist and you didn't know a molar from a canine, would you feel comfortable in doing a root canal? But let me ask you this question. If you're an attorney and you didn't study the Constitution and you had to defend the First Amendment, would you feel comfortable going into a courtroom and articulating that and defending that? Or would you feel comfortable in even passing that along to someone else? Why do I say this? Because I think times many Catholics, we understand that we live in the Catholic world and we are Catholics. But are we really able to articulate to our children what it means to live a Catholic life? I think many times we think that we can pass along our faith to our children. Well, the reality of it is we can offer that Catholic faith to our children, but it's really up to them to have a grounding and the understanding of what it means to live a Catholic faith. You know, many times we say it's taught, not caught. Our children are the most valuable asset that we have. Sometimes we banter and we bargain on their education. And I say that not to be derogatory, but to say that we have to rethink what is important for the most important things in our life, our children. And if you're not prepared really to articulate that faith clearly, I would suggest two things. One is it's time to really learn your faith. If your children, you say, let's pray the rosary, why do you pray the rosary? If your children say, why do we need to go to Mass, can you articulate the value to that? If they say, why do we have to go to the sacrament of reconciliation, do you have an understanding that it's not just because we're told to, but that Jesus emphasize that whatever you loose in heaven is loosed on earth, whatever you bind on earth is bound and bound in heaven. It's really an understanding of God giving us the authority through the priest, but we need to be able to articulate our faith. And that is exactly what Catholic education does. You know, thanks be to God for our public schools, but they do exactly what they're called to do. They teach in a secular dimension without passing along our Catholic faith. So my challenge and this week of Catholic Schools Week is we're going to have a great conversation here about the value of Catholic education. And really, I would ask you to go to prayer and ask yourself with all honesty, are you able and willing to articulate the faith in a profound sense that your children would continue on? Because the reality of it is in the last 30 or 40 years, we're losing our youth. And why? Because they don't have that deep, profound sense of who they are as Catholics, and we need to change that, and it needs to start today. And with that being said, I have two people in the room here that I know can help us along on that. I have Dave Faber, who is the superintendent of Catholic schools here in the Diocese of Grand Rapids. Dave, welcome.
Thank you, Jim.
Nice to have you here. And I have Annalise Krantz, who is the marketing communications coordinator for Catholic schools. Welcome.
Hi there.
Good to have you here.
Good to be here.
This has become a passion of mine right now because I'm really beginning to see the chinks in the armor. Without good, solid Catholic education, without good, solid Catholic catechesis. And that's exactly what our Catholic schools are meant to do. Isn't that right, Dave?
It sure is. And, Jim, you know, I love the way you set us up because it really motivates me first to talk as a parent of youngsters who I've worked hard, and my wife and I have worked hard to help them grow up in the faith and to keep the faith and to live the faith and pass the faith along to others. Yeah. And as parents, we're the first educators of our children. So your challenge is perfect.
Baptismal vow you made.
Exactly. Yeah. Your challenge is perfect. Are you, as parents, equipped to do the job you've been called to do? The good news is most of us aren't. Yeah. Most of us aren't fully equipped. We never will be until, you know, the day we meet our Lord.
Amen.
But until then, we need help. We need the community. We need the Catholic community's help. And we're here, Annalise and I, here to proclaim to the community that Catholic schools are here to help.
And, Dave, I want to make an emphasis on this, too. This is not to diminish any of the parents. This is to say it's just part of our humanness that we are experts in certain things and other things we aren't. And that's why we do this as a community.
That absolutely.
We lift up your children in faith.
The parent's role cannot be diminished.
Right.
No one can replace the role of a parent. And that's why, actually, one of the truly the reasons why Catholic schools are so powerful and so effective is because we partner so closely with parents, because I have our belief that they are the first educators of their children.
Yeah.
So it's an exciting opportunity to be able to, as a parent, go to the church and find out that there is an institution, there's a school, there's an organization ready and willing to help me.
Yep.
And it's exciting as a superintendent to be part of the opportunity to parents to offer that systematic religious instruction over time.
Right.
And I don't know about most parents, but I can tell you this. If it hadn't been for my own daughter's Catholic education, there are so many things that my wife and I wanted to teach our children, that we wanted to convey to them in a systematic way. But time is very difficult sometimes, yes. And our best intentions sometimes are met by resistance.
Of course.
And so many times, I can't even count how many times in our life as a family, our daughters brought home a homework assignment from school that allowed us to have a conversation about something we never would have had before.
Yeah. Isn't that wonderful?
And it's powerful. It's so powerful. And Annalise, I know, had this experience specifically.
Yes. And just to bounce something off that, Dave, you know, it really is a two-way street in that respect then, because what happens is you become catechized also through your children as they begin to learn of their faith. I know they're excited about it because they finally realize there's a reason I am who I am, and there's a reason what I do as a Catholic. And once you can put those two together, then it becomes a real catalyst to start growing in your faith.
No question about it.
Yeah. Annalise, you had some experience today with saying about this.
Yes, I am a proud graduate of a Catholic school. I attended St. Patrick in Portland, K through 12, and the experience is absolutely amazing. I mean, every year learning to grow and learning to participate in Mass, you know, weekly all-school Masses, and then Mass on Sundays, you know, really gave me the opportunity to grow in my faith, mm-hmm. and to pass that along to anyone that I came in contact with. And then by the time I was ready for college, I was not only prepared for college academically, but spiritually. Mm-hmm. I was one of the students that actively sought out a Catholic church on my campus and said, you know, why not go every Sunday? Why not make it a priority every week to attend Mass? Yep. And you wouldn't be surprised how many students, you know, just kind of, oh, I'm on my own without mom and dad. I don't have to go to Mass anymore. Yeah. But, you know,
they lost the understanding, or they never did have a profound understanding of what it meant to go and worship the Lord on Sunday.
Correct.
Yeah.
And so those that, you know, only attended Mass on the weekend with their parents and didn't have the kind of teachings and of a Catholic school and going to Mass, you know, as a school community, kind of just lost that when they went to college and were on their own. They didn't feel the need to continue going. And
well, I tip my hat to the Catholic school in Portland, because they obviously did something very powerful to keep you energized and focused on the Lord. And that's what it's about, isn't it?
Yes, and I want to point back to and give some credit to Annalise's parents. I have not met Annalise's parents, but there is no doubt in my mind that they were faithful Catholic people. Annalise found her way through ministry in her parish at St. Pat's in Portland to participate in a lot of different liturgical ministries, which landed her in Faith Magazine in 2006, somewhere in there. Yeah, yeah. And again, these are the kinds of things that affected Annalise's life and helped her parents create and bring her to become the person God created her to be.
Amen. Amen. So your parents obviously were not rigid, but faithful in really living their Catholic faith. So you had this great presence of the Lord all the time in your family. Mm-hmm. How many siblings?
I have a younger brother.
You have a younger brother. Wonderful. Dave, now, of course, I had the privilege of knowing your parents. And two beautiful, faithful Catholic people.
Extremely. All we did was go to church. In fact, I wander into a lot of church basements in the city of Grand Rapids and think, I've been here before.
Yeah.
Because my parents would be at some parish or church meeting somewhere, and they'd bring us along because we didn't have a babysitter, and we'd go down to the basement and play while they were in their meeting. And I recognized the space thinking, I've been here before.
Yeah.
It's amazing. I had wonderful parents.
What we're here to do really is promote the Catholic education. And again, not to hammer on parents about why aren't you sending them there. The question is what's stopping you from sending them there? Really, because there is so much value to it. And again, I say, if these are our most valuable assets that we own, I mean, they're much more valuable than that boat or that second house or whatever it is. These are our future of our church. And we need to make sure that we can send them along in this legacy of living this Catholic life. And that's the power. So tell me what's going on now for Catholic Schools Week. What's happening and what's exciting?
There's a lot of really exciting things happening. Of course, Catholic Schools Week is a national celebration. It's something we celebrate all across the country. So in all of our schools, our kids always look forward to Catholic Schools Week because it truly is a celebration of this experience that they have. So there are many activities going on all over. Our feature activity as a diocese is Bishop Wachowiak will celebrate Mass with a representative group of students from every school in the diocese. So about 25 students from all 29 of our schools will come together with some faculty and with all the pastors around the diocese who support Catholic education, Catholic schools in any way, will come together for Mass. And so we have a large celebration. The music is beautiful.
Wonderful.
Immediately following Mass, we're having all of these supporting pastors over for lunch, and we're talking to them about the continuation of the bishop's effort to make Catholic schools as accessible as possible to every Catholic child that wants to take advantage of that, and every Catholic family that's looking for that, and to really welcome new kids into Catholic schools and hopefully retain every student that we have now.
Yep.
So Annalise is part of that effort. She's one of three new positions that have been hired at the diocesan level to help us get the word out about Catholic schools, to make sure that our schools are as accessible as possible and everybody knows where to get the information, and that our schools are really planning carefully for their marketing efforts and getting the word out in their communities. And Dan Plakta is also new in our office as our missions enrollment management consultant, and he is helping our schools think about their enrollment management and think about admissions, both retention of current students as well as reaching out into the new communities of people that we perhaps haven't done a great job of inviting to consider a Catholic education.
Yes.
And also we've added Conrad Kincannon. He's a GRASAC, Grand Rapids Area Catholic Elementary Athletic Council AD for our elementary schools to coordinate and really create programs that are different. You know, programs that when a family participates and their student is part of our programs, that they can sense that this is different than any other community athletic program, and want to be a part of that. Again, to engage more students who are part of parishes with students who are going to schools in order to just share life in Christ.
Yeah.
So those are three positions. And then the other really exciting part is Bishop has quadrupled the amount of tuition assistance dollars that will be granted through the Bishop's scholarship. And so we're excited to, again, be able to reach out, hopefully retain families who may be struggling, as well as reach out to new populations of families as well.
You know, Dave, and I want to emphasize this too. I know for some people, Catholic education could be a struggle, but in that struggle comes the grace. Even if it's a struggle, understand that in God's providence, He allows that struggle because through that, He will continue to pour the grace into your hearts to make that Catholic education possible. And now through the tuitions, the bishop opening up more tuition, hopefully we can make it easy for some, keeping them in our Catholic schools.
Absolutely. And, I'm glad you mentioned the struggle. You know, Catholic schools are all about the Paschal mystery.
Yes.
The life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, you know, and we go through those difficult things. We accept the cross, right? Every single day, we receive the cross. We accept it with love, and in grace, God turns that out of, in His grace, He turns that into phenomenal things in our lives, in the resurrection. We see new life. We see the new life in our kids. And we ask our kids to do that every day, too. You know, sometimes things are difficult. You know, life can get difficult. They have these little sacrifices. They have these little disciplines that they go through. They accept their crosses. They pick up the cross to follow Jesus, and they find themselves in a situation of new life, the resurrection, that Paschal mystery. So, yes, it is a struggle, but it leads to amazing things.
It does. You know, and I want to equate that a little bit to the baptism, because parents take their children to be baptized, and through their belief, the grace abounds in that child as they grow up and allows them to grow into a relationship with God, because the child that young can't have that faith yet, but the parents do. It's the same with Catholic education. Sometimes the child won't see the value of sending them to a Catholic school, but the parents need to see that, and then the grace starts to abound through the child, and we really need that understanding.
And this is all how we pass on the faith. Our kids, you know, will not have a full grasp or a full understanding. They only understand as a young child, and then they understand as a little bit older child,
right,
and then as an adolescent, and then as a high schooler, and then as a college student. And then they get out in life, and they come back and say, Mom and Dad, I really value what you taught me.
That's right.
I just heard a story this week where a family said that to me. You know, my child just didn't get it. And we stayed on him and stayed on him and stayed on him, and he rebelled and was frustrated. And just now, coming back, first year of college, away from home, comes home and says to Mom and Dad, I really appreciate what you did for me. And although I wanted to go to the public school, I'm glad you never sent me there. And that you kept me in the Catholic school.
Yeah.
And he's so appreciating that now. So it definitely is a blessing. It will be a struggle. We're going to ask him to work hard. We're going to ask him to become all that God created them to be. Right?
Yeah.
God didn't ask us to come and have an easy life and just kind of kick back and enjoy everything, and everything's supposed to be happy. And, you know, life can be difficult, and it's especially that way when we pick up our cross and we say, God has given me these gifts, and I've been asked to use them to build up the kingdom. And what am I going to do with those? Am I going to bury them? Because that's easier, or am I going to go out and invest these gifts and see what God does through them? And we all know it isn't on our power. We know that it's only by the grace of God that he turns it into something amazing.
Amen. Amen. Annalise, I'm going to turn it over to you now, because I know you're fairly new with the diocese, but you're really getting your feet wet. You're getting a real baptism of fire right away, correct?
Yeah.
You're jumping right into it. How's it going for you? Tell us about your job.
So I am the new marketing communications coordinator for Catholic schools. Like Dave said, one of three new positions in our office at the diocesan level. And really, Dan and I are working very closely together. Dan is the admissions field consultant. He's the numbers. I like to call him the boring math side. I get to do the fun stuff. I get to say, okay, you guys are looking to get five new kids in here. How are we going to do that? So you might start seeing more signs around your community. You might start seeing brochures. You might start seeing pamphlets. But really, we just encourage you to seek out a Catholic school near you. Just call them up, ask for a tour, pop by the school and just ask for a tour. All of our principals are always willing to open their doors to any child, no matter what. And so I get to do the fun stuff of promoting our Catholic schools and making sure we're out there. I get to play on Facebook and Twitter all day.
Of course.
You know, who doesn't like that kind of stuff? But I've been visiting all of our schools. I think in the past month and a half I've been there, I have all but 5 to 10 of our schools visited. And, I mean, you would be amazed at the kind of stuff I am seeing in this school. The technology, the staff, just what these kids are learning is amazing. I challenge any parent to walk into our school and find something that's not as good or better than the public school down the road, because the staff in our schools is amazing, and these kids are on fire.
Yeah, absolutely.
I have walked into classrooms and said, you know, can you guys record a prayer for me? Or can you tell me a prayer? And immediately I had a classroom a whole bunch of kids that said, we want to do our guardian angel prayer. And come to find out, this is what they do before they leave school every day. So now they're so used to this guardian angel prayer, they can recite it without any words in front of them. It is ingrained in their memory. And they know that they have a guardian angel watching out for them every single day when they leave school.
You know, Annalise, I want to pick up on something you said because I think it's important to rearticulate this to our listeners. Parents, you sacrifice nothing in education by going to a Catholic school because the understanding in our Catholicism, our Catholic schools, is that education and the Lord aren't separate. Everything is built into the understanding of serving the Lord Jesus Christ and living a life fully in the Lord. In your education, it's a gift from Him. Our wisdom is a gift from Him. Our knowledge is a gift from Him. And so everything we do and these prayers they're reciting is really a litany to God in thanksgiving for their education and their understanding of their parents and the privilege they have of being part of Catholic education.
Absolutely. You know, Jim, I have been trying to spend a full day in each school this year. And in those
visits...
How many
schools are there, by the way?
29.
Okay.
So in those visits, I work hard to get to every classroom. And when I go to the classrooms is when it gets really exciting.
Yeah.
Yesterday, I was at Immaculate Heart of Mary school.
My old alma mater.
And I remember coming back from a couple of the classrooms to the office to just report to the ladies in the office, you guys, this is so fun to be here. It's so fun to see these kids. They're so excited and they're so engaging.
Yeah.
For example, when I go into the classroom, I ask them if it's okay if I give them a little something. When I come, you know, I don't get to come that often, so I have a little something for them. And I have a little prayer card, really. It's just a little picture of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And it has a simple question on the front. And the question is, have you decided to follow Jesus? Because there is no more central, important question in Catholic schools anywhere in the world.
That's right.
And so first and foremost, I say to them, I start handing out the cards, got a little something for you, and I say to them, so who is the most important person in a Catholic school? And sometimes they'll say, oh, the principal. No, wait. In any Catholic school, anywhere, who is the most important person in the school? And right away, hands are going up all over the place, and the answer is always either God or Jesus. And I say, absolutely,
yeah.
God. And God sent His Son Jesus, and Jesus came, and there He is, right there on the cross. He came for you. He came to save you. And so the most important person in a Catholic school is Jesus. And your parents, your pastor, your teacher, your principal, everyone in the school community has organized in order to help you learn to follow that most important person,
yeah.
Jesus. So then I say to them, someone want to read the question on that card? And, you know, hands all over the place. Have you decided to follow Jesus? And I look back at them and I say, have you decided to follow Jesus? And of course, heads are all shaking, hands are in the air. Yes, we hear it right away. Yes, we have. And I say, well, what about tomorrow? Have you decided to follow Jesus tomorrow? What about the next day? What about 3 years from now? Yeah. What about 10 years from now? What about when you're in college? How about after that? And they're all shaking their head, yes. And then I ask them, but is it hard to follow Jesus sometimes? And again, right away, this doesn't take any real instruction. Our teachers have done a great job. And they're all like, yeah, it can be really hard to follow Jesus sometimes. And I say, how? What are some of the ways that it's hard to follow Jesus? And they'll say some of the most profound things. Of course, the number one answer is, you know, getting along with their siblings or when my mom asked me to clean my room and I want to play a video game or, you know, they come up with these kind of things or maybe when I'm mistreated at school. But they also come up with some just beautiful, profound things. I had a student recently say, you know, it's hard when we're trying to pray before Christmas or Thanksgiving dinner and some of my relatives aren't Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
I said, really? Tell me more about that. And you get to talk about the real struggles they have when they are living their faith among their family members, mm-hmm. and something as simple as prayer before the meal comes up. And their relatives aren't used to doing that.
Exactly. Exactly.
And what that means to be a witness. And some of the conversations we have had in the classroom, I go back to my teaching days, and I come out of the classroom always all jazzed up and excited. But it is the reason why we do this.
Exactly.
It's all about leading young people to Jesus. And like you said, Jim, every subject, every minute of every day is all about that. So from a Catholic worldview, how do we look at math? How do we think about the natural law created these rules these concepts? How do we think about science? Where did it all come from? Who's responsible? Who keeps it all in order? How do we play our part in that?
Exactly.
What about social studies? My goodness, all over the world, what's going on among peoples? And what about when you're learning to read and the kinds of things we choose to read? And what does it mean? How do we build characters? And what do you see in them that's virtuous? When you're writing pieces, what do you choose to write about? What do you choose to think about? It doesn't matter what subject area we're doing. And then, of course, religion, where we get to be, you know, systematic in terms of these are the important things the church has laid out for you to understand about your faith so that someday you will be able to defend your faith, you'll be able to teach your faith, you'll be able to witness to your faith so that others, because it's not about us, it's about bringing the whole world to Christ.
You know, Dave, what you're talking about too is really, and I've said this before, and sometimes when I preach, I'll say we have to learn to be countercultural, and that's what we're really teaching our children, not to be revolutionaries, but to be countercultural in the sense that we don't follow what the culture teaches, this secular understanding. We live in a church, in a school that really says we first and foremost put the Lord Jesus Christ, and we follow Him. He was very countercultural. He shook things up when he walked the face of the earth.
He sure was.
And that's what we're supposed to be doing, is kind of shaking it up and bringing that understanding that Christ is alive in all of us, and that our schools particularly are meant to bring that dimension into our lives. And it, what does it do? It makes us better students. It makes us better citizens. It allows us better discipline in our life. You know, I'm going to back when I'm listening about the sports, the young man you hired for the sports, and some people say, why do you have to put emphasis on sports? And I tell them, you know, even in our Catholic education, there's a profound understanding that sports really teaches discipline and attitude, the ability to win and to lose, and to
Absolutely.
Do it graciously, and to love God in all things. So there's always a dimension in our faith that continues on. And Annalisa, I know while you're touring these schools, you're having a chance to sit with many of the people in these schools and hearing what's going on. What's been the temperature of the schools you've been in? How's it been?
Every school is amazing, and they are growing so fast, and they want to grow. They want more kids in those doors. They can't wait to have your child walk through those doors and to join their family. It truly is a family in every Catholic school in our diocese, and anywhere you go. Your child will have, you know, 16, 17 brothers and sisters in every classroom they walk into. They're going to have lifelong friends.
Yeah.
And it truly is a family in every Catholic school.
Isn't that wonderful?
It's an extension of what you're teaching at home.
It is. You are listening to Holy Family Radio. This is Deacon Jim Thorndahl, and I'm here for Catholic Schools Week. You're listening to 1140 AM in Grand Rapids and 91.5 in Kalamazoo and 89.7 in Battle Creek. It's my pleasure here today to have Dave Faber, Superintendent of Catholic Schools here in the Diocese of Grand Rapids, and Annalise Krantz, who is the Marketing Communication Coordinator for Catholic Schools. And we're having a great conversation about what it means to live a life in a Catholic school and the value to that Catholic education, not just because we say so, but we see the results in how our students come out and how they react in the world, how they, you know, and it's not just about are they better financially. It's about the very source of their education brings them to that point, regardless, even if they're not thinking of that. They're better equipped for the world. Would you
Absolutely.
Agree with that, Dave?
Absolutely. They're definitely better equipped for the world. You know, again, I want to go back to speaking as a parent, because I have 4 graduates now of K through 12 Catholic schools, preschool through 12 Catholic
and
schools.
And I'm sure that
here
kept
in the diocese.
Your pockets pretty empty.
Yes.
At times.
Well, it's such a blessing.
Yeah.
It's such a blessing. It's struggle mm-hmm. at times. Yep. It certainly is a sacrifice. But most of all, I feel like it's been the greatest investment my wife and I could make. We have organized our whole life around being able to educate and form our children in the faith. And I can't imagine anything more important than that. My mom, as she laid in her deathbed, was so concerned and wanted to apologize to me. That was the biggest thing on her. She wanted to apologize to me for anything that she hadn't given me. And I looked at her and I said, Mom, I'm so wealthy. I am so wealthy. And it had nothing to do with money. It had everything to do with all that she had imparted to me. Yeah. And the way that my life now takes order and shape. And I have the advantage of the Catholic faith and my community to receive the sacraments, to be nurtured by them, to know that it's all about, I'm going to join her someday.
Amen.
And hopefully my whole family's going to join her someday. And we're, you know, this is everything. This makes us incredibly wealthy. So as a parent, as I watch my children go off to college, as I watch them graduate from college, as I watch them get married and take on jobs and have children, yes, a few two grandchildren, one on the way, and I see the faith that they're living in their own lives, and they're faithful Catholics themselves, and they're engaged in the world in productive, helpful ways that aren't about themselves, but they're about others.
Yeah.
This is what I look back, and I hope someday on my deathbed, although I'll probably still be apologizing for all the dumb things I did, just like my mom, I'm hoping they can look back at me and say, Dad, we're so wealthy.
Let me ask you this. Could that have been accomplished, do you think, without Catholic education?
I don't think that my life would be the same without Catholic education, personally.
Yeah.
And I don't think that my daughters' lives would have been the same without Catholic education. Now, Catholic education can come in many forms.
Yes, it can.
And I want to acknowledge all of the families who have gone to their parish, registered their kids for religious education. This is the beginning point. We have to begin a systematic religious instruction at some point. Those of you who have children who are participating in youth group and in summer conferences and in mission trips and all the different things that are available to your children, these are all important parts of raising a child in the faith. And so I don't want to say that it requires a Catholic school. All I can tell you from my personal experience and my family, my daughters, it wouldn't be the same without it.
Yep.
Our family wouldn't have been the same. We wouldn't have addressed all the things that we did. And for example, I missed out on, I lived too far away. There wasn't a Catholic high school close to where I lived mm-hmm. growing up.
Yep.
And so I ended up going to public high school, and I see today the 8 semesters of theology that my daughters are getting. You don't even get that when you go to college.
Exactly.
You don't get that. 8 semesters of theology steeped in the Catholic Church. And these courses have been designed and outlined by the U.S. bishops.
Yes.
These are not fluff. These are really good, solid Catholic teaching. What my daughters are bringing home, I never got to learn.
You know, I want to make that point too, Dave, because I think it's important. I'm a product of these 60s, 70s, and 80s, and I have to tell you, we were a little lax back then. So those listening, understand things are different today in our Catholic schools, because we see the value now of really coming into a profound understanding in catechesis of our faith. So if you're thinking back to your old days, kind of dismiss that thought today, because it's different. And I can only tell you, I've witnessed it in my own parish at St. Thomas the Apostle, how we really helped these children to understand their faith in a deep and profound way. And I just had this conversation the other day with somebody else. We've heard it a million times. Many of us were sacramentalized, but we never had a relationship with the Lord. Today, we not only sacramentalize them, we give them an understanding of how that draws you into that relationship with the Lord in a deeper and more profound way. So that really is becoming a catalyst for our Catholic teaching. And Anna, you had experienced that growing up. You're younger than I am, so you probably really had that understanding of being sacramentalized, but really an understanding of having a relationship with the Lord.
Exactly. And, you know, it's amazing that at times, you know, you might not really understand that relationship, but you know he's always there.
Yeah.
And you might not understand everything at some point, but as you grow, so does your relationship and so does your faith. And, you know, it's in the quietest moments that he speaks to you. And that's really what you're learning in our Catholic schools.
You know, it's funny you said that, because in the Gospel of John, when John the Baptist says, "Behold, the Lamb of God," the disciples followed Jesus because they trusted in John, not because they knew Jesus, but they had to grow in that relationship with Christ. They had to follow him to understand who he was and to grow in a richer and deeper faith with him. So many times we become the catalyst for another person's faith. Not that we can make them believe, but we can certainly, through our efforts and our actions, begin to discipline ourselves so people see Christ in us.
Absolutely. And, you know, Jim, I want to take that one step further. As parents, that is true. We are the catalyst.
Yeah.
In our Catholic schools, one of the reasons they're so beneficial to our students and to us as parents is because the teachers are also those catalysts. They are trained catechists in our schools, which means they have to go through a diocesan certification program to understand how to catechize in the faith. And I'm telling you, again, I was at IHM yesterday, Immaculate Heart Mary Parish and School. And after school, I got to participate in a faculty meeting. And the teacher who had been selected to lead prayer had gone out and found the most beautiful and profound prayer. I couldn't believe it. And it wasn't a short prayer. It was really in depth. And it talked about surrendering one's whole life to the Lord. And in doing that, we receive everything back. And it went through all different stages of life when that happens. And I thought to myself, as she finished, I said, you know, thank you so much. Your faith encourages me. Mm-hmm. And where else would you find that? In a Catholic school, those are the kind of people that we're putting out there in front of our students every day. Yep. People who have committed their lives to Christ and who have committed their lives to teaching the faith and to becoming good at what they do and integrating that fully with who they are as a Catholic.
And I want to give kudos to our teachers because, you
Amen.
Know, they go through college years, they might get their master's degree, whatever they have, and they know that their earning potential could be greater in a public school. But they also understand that their joy and their satisfaction would diminish into what they would have to teach, and they would not have the opportunity to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it's not a trade-off.
Not
it's an
all.
Understanding that I choose to really to do this because, for me, the joy comes in preaching the gospel in all different dimensions of our education, whether it be math, science, whatever it is, the geometry, whatever it is you're teaching. Christ is incorporated into it.
It's very true. And, you know, it's interesting. In our schools, if you're around for very long at all, you're there because you want to be there.
Yeah.
You're there for the mission. You're there because you want to be part of this exciting ministry.
Yeah.
Those who aren't there for that reason, they don't last very long because their experience is invaluable in our schools.
Yeah.
I remember touring a public school once. When we were looking at their spaces and trying to figure out, we wanted to make sure we were doing best practices in our local school. And touring the school, and this public school principal kept introducing me to this, oh, this is the teacher of the year, and she used to teach at St. So-and-so's, and oh, this one's from Holy Such-and-such, and they, you know, she won the national recognition for X. They know that our teachers have worked well with parents, partnered well with parents, and had very high expectations academically, and that prepares them incredibly well. So our schools are a great preparation place for a teacher who wants to earn more money.
Yeah.
And most of the time, those move on quite quickly.
And what ends
up in our school are those who are there to really do the mission.
I don't diminish the opportunity to earn, because some people just may need more money, and I understand that.
We've all been there.
Yeah, we've all been there. And you do what you need to do for your family. But the point was is that those that do stay do it for that becomes their role. That becomes their mission. That becomes their life.
It sure does.
And their calling. And it's a wonderful thing to have that. And when you were in high school, you were in a Catholic high school?
Correct.
Yeah. So you must have seen the dedication of these teachers.
Absolutely. And the thing is, just as Dave said, we have teachers at St. Patrick in Portland that have been there my entire life. I remember growing up with their kids. I remember when those teachers had their own kids, but we were their kids during the day. And then they went home to their kids at night and their families at night. But we truly are their kids during the day. Each teacher will sit down with you and is really looking to help you succeed. I remember in third grade, absolutely horrible at math. Didn't like math at all. I got through addition and subtraction, but I could not move on to multiplication. And I remember our teacher taking five or six of us and staying after school with us 2 hours and helping us learn math in a fun way, coming up with games, coming up with new ideas. And she would stay with us two and a half hours until our parents could pick us up after work. She didn't have to do that, but she wanted to see us succeed. She goes, okay, you know, how can I help these kids? How can I make it fun for them?
Yeah. And it's amazing because that becomes their ministry. Is their children. And
sure
thanks be to God they have that dedication because, you know, like you, Annalise, some people just struggle with different subjects. And if you know that there's somebody lovingly trying to help you, who's not obligated to do it but wants to do it out of love, what a beautiful mission that is.
Mm-hmm.
What a beautiful story that is.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and Jim, that makes me want to segue into, we have a number of students who struggle. First of all students struggle at some point in time.
Of course.
In one way or another, every student has that growing edge that they need to work on. And conversely, every student has their gifts. And it doesn't matter what your needs are, you also have those gifts that God has called you to use. And I think Catholic school teachers are particularly attentive to how do we help these young people grow in their gifts and also grow in these growing edges.
Yeah.
Now, I want to recognize teachers everywhere because I know many, many public school teachers. I was a public school teacher for a period of time because I needed to earn more benefits for my family initially.
Sure.
And they are good people. And most teachers are there because they want to help kids learn. And so they're really there to help the struggling learner. Oftentimes they give extra, as Annalise said. But in our schools, I want to highlight something that most people don't know about them. About 10% of our population actually has identified special needs. And this is something that perception-wise out in the community, people just don't realize that about our schools, that our teachers are willing to really go the extra mile to help the kids who have special learning needs to learn and understand the kinds of resources that they need. And our schools are doing a better job all the time of consulting with professionals who can help us meet the needs of those kids and employing resource teachers and other skilled teachers who are able to meet the needs of kids with identified special needs. And so I also want to make that special welcome, especially during Catholic Schools Week.
Yes.
You know, we're all about the body of Christ. Pope Francis continues to talk to us about going out to the edges, those that feel as though they've been left out. And in our Catholic schools, in some ways, financially, there have been reasons why, for whatever reason, we felt like we couldn't provide certain programs. Well, we're really working hard to provide as many of those programs as possible now and really seeking all kids. We want to build up the whole body of Christ.
Exactly.
And all kids, special needs or no special needs, we all have special needs of some kind.
I've got
we all have exceptionalities of some kind. But whatever those are, all kids have gifts.
Yeah.
And when you bring those gifts together, we have the full body of Christ.
Yeah.
And that's what we're looking for in our Catholic schools.
And one thing I did it last year, I want to clarify this again for people listening, is that some people will say, well, your Catholic education teachers don't have the same credentials as the public school teachers. Let's get rid of that misunderstanding.
That is untrue.
Yes.
Catholic school teachers, by law, must be certified by the state in the same way that public school teachers are. And additionally, our Catholic school teachers must have their catechetical certification as well, because just as important, if not more important, is their ability to pass along the faith in the classroom.
Yep.
And so our teachers are required to have more certification than a typical public school teacher would.
Thank you. I appreciate that because, you know, many times there's that misunderstanding that think because we're run by the Catholic Church, we have a different dimension and different set of rules and criteria, but that is just not so.
It's not.
So, and Annalise, I'm sure you can go back and look at all your teachers and you can say what a fabulous job they did, but really people who really dedicated them their lives, and you're seeing it now as you're visiting all these different schools today. Are you visiting, you said you've only missed, what, four or five so far?
So far, and they're usually on the schedule. I have them scheduled. They're coming up.
Okay, so you'd be visiting them. And I understand you sit in some of the board meetings too?
Correct,
okay.
Yes. I have attended some of the school board meetings, worked with marketing committees of schools, and even the parents. It's not only the teachers at our schools that are so dedicated, these parents are dedicated.
Yeah.
They are attending these board meetings, and they only want what's best for their children. They want to see the entire school grow. And these parents and what they're giving of their time, talent, and treasure is absolutely amazing as well.
You know, another aspect I want to touch on before we get on to this new initiative by the bishop, but, you know, I think it's important for parents to have this understanding too. You know, there's a different discipline in a Catholic school than in a secular school. And we witness this all the time. And it's not that the public schools don't have discipline, but there's a different perception and understanding and a desire of the parents to really have that enforced in their lives. And so I look at that as another dimension because we see really a much order in our Catholic schools today. You must get in these schools and you see a lot of order in these schools.
Well, and I just want to say how much a Catholic school prepared me for college. I would attend class and I would shoot for that A, you know, 94%. And there would be kids sitting next to me that goes, I have to earn a 94% for an A. And that was just what I grew up with. That is what it was.
Yes.
So I grew up always striving for the best and always striving for the A. So I was prepared when I got to college. I just said, you know, this is an extension of what I've been doing in high school. And I just need to keep on going.
Yeah.
Where these kids had absolutely no idea that it took that much hard work.
See, there's a discipline of the body and there's the discipline of the mind. And once you can corral both of those, you really become a whole individual and
yeah.
be able to function properly.
And I'd like to give kudos to IHM, too, yesterday. One of the things I said to the faculty after school was, you have such a beautiful order about your school. The families absolutely know where to come to drop off their children,
yep.
where the students go from there. They're in their classrooms. When I came to the classroom, knocked on the door, the teacher greeted me. Always greeted me, introduced me to the class, asked the class in return to welcome me, which they did with enthusiasm. And these are the kinds of, there was just such a beautiful yeah. order about what was going on in Catholic school that makes the environment productive.
Yeah, it's really a cultural experience too, of really living in a society, in an ordered society, and how do we do that properly. But,
let's go back to the sports analogy.
Yeah.
You know, every team is really a community of some
of
kind.
Course.
And you can't do well if there aren't rules,
right.
and if the plays aren't followed well, and you know everyone does their role,
and you learn to depend on one another,
you sure do,
and that's what community is.
It's not any way goes.
That's right.
That's for sure.
That's exactly right. But you know all this beautiful talk about Catholic schools, but you know for those listening, or those parents listening, you might still be saying, but what's the caveat? What's the new? How do I access a Catholic school? How do I go about getting my children in without? You know, killing my bankroll. What do we do?
Right. Well, let's start with the parent who's out there who just wants to kind of, maybe you're not quite sure. You just want to sort of start looking at some of the schools in your area, but you're not even at the point where you want to call them up because you don't want them to know that you might be interested. I want to invite you to go to CatholicSchoolsForYou.org. CatholicSchoolsForYou.org. That's the number 4, the letter U, CatholicSchoolsForYou.org. Go there, and at that website, which is our diocesan school's website, you'll be able to access any of our school's websites. And those websites are prepared in such a way that you can start to get a feel for the school, see what it looks like and feels like, read through some of the materials, and as you get inspired, as one draws you in, give them a call. Yeah. Let them know that you would love to come and take a tour. Or as Annalise said, just you're driving by someday, stop by and see if you can set up a time to take a tour of the school and perhaps even have your child sit in a class.
Yes.
Half day, full day, or an hour, whatever you're most comfortable with, and just see the school in action. That's the first step.
You know, David, it's kind of like buying a car. Unless you sit in it and touch it and feel it and test drive it, we can tell you all day long what Catholic education is like. I challenge parents who are seriously considering or haven't really thought about it, go into a Catholic school and sit in that new car.
Definitely.
Take a ride. Take a test drive and see what you'll be amazed at what you're going to see.
Right. Another way, if your child is into sports and you're a member of a parish that has a school, your child can play on that school's teams if they're interested. And again, this is just a way to begin to get introduced. You're going to go to those games. You're going to sit next to all the other parents who have their children in the school, and you're going to get to know them, and your child is going to get to know the other kids. See if it isn't a different experience.
Yeah.
As the whole crowd stands up and prays together the Lord's Prayer before they begin the game, and the team gathers again afterwards for prayer, and the coach is trying to put all of this into perspective. Now, our coaches aren't perfect.
Of course
they
want
to win, too. But you know, they're hopefully bringing to that their life of faith.
Yeah.
And, you know, check us out in that way. So get involved in one of the GRACEAC athletic programs, perhaps, and other ways to connect with us, certainly by phone. By email.
Yes.
Make sure you send something to the principal or the school secretary. You know, go check out the parish. And I always tell families if you're not sure about a school, go to worship there on the weekend. Yeah. See what that community is like.
But let me even go one step further. Even if you're not Catholic.
Absolutely.
We still offer a tremendous education of continuity and discipline in our schools. Even if you're not a registered member of a parish here, we still offer a tremendous educational value.
For sure. The gospel message was not designed just for us.
That's right.
It's to go out to the whole world. What we have to offer is invaluable to any family. And I've seen this firsthand interestingly enough, I remember a family visiting the St. Thomas the Apostle, where I was the principal, and they were from a Middle Eastern country, and they weren't even Christian, but in their Middle Eastern country, their kids had attended a Catholic school, and they really valued all of the things that were there. And so we welcome all families from all religious backgrounds.
Yes.
It really does add to the body of Christ. Now, we're not going to apologize while you're there for being Catholic.
That's right.
You know, it is a Catholic education. There's no way around that. But you're welcome. We want you to come and participate. We respect you. We hope that you will respect us.
Yes.
And the fullness of the faith. But we welcome all.
And another thing it does too, Dave, is it opens up a dialogue, an interfaith dialogue. Even if they aren't Catholic, at least they can understand who we are, have a clear dimension of what we believe, and then if nothing else, that dialogue is open, that we have this interfaith dialogue that keeps us at peace.
Absolutely.
And we can then appreciate one another's faith, and we can just live with one another faithfully and peacefully.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Annalise, as you go through this, what are you telling people about why go to a Catholic school?
Why not? That's my question.
Okay.
But really, after seeing the benefits that I received, and like Dave said, he had heard the story about the guy that went off to college, and you know, when he came back, he goes, "Thank you, Mom and Dad, for that." And that's all I can say to my parents now is thank you. I mean, thank you for writing that check every year that I had no idea how much it was.
Right.
And yet my parents sacrificed, you know, they packed their lunch just so they can send me to a Catholic school. And that's all it takes.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just packing your lunch every week and you can give your child a Catholic school education.
Exactly.
I heard someone say just the other day, and I love this concept, and I know it doesn't happen very often anymore, but there was a person who visited me the other day who said, my sister At one point, when my parents could not pay my tuition, my sister got a job just to help pay my tuition because she could see the difference it was making in my life.
Yeah.
Families often in our past came together and they pooled their resources
yes.
to make this happen.
Yes.
And today, it's still worth all of that.
Amen.
Absolutely.
You know, this is really an understanding of our faith. And I want to quote, I was writing St. Thomas Aquinas because I think it's going to apply to a lot of the parents today. St. Thomas said this about faith. He said, faith is an act of the intellect or an internal assent. It's a command of the will, and it's moved by God through grace. The point I'm making is this. We can make this internal assent because we might not understand right now the value of a Catholic education. We might not even understand how we're going to afford a Catholic education. But if we're willing to make that internal assent and we command our will to say, I choose this for my children, God will move you through grace. And he will be able to move you to that place where you can afford this. And when I say that, we are going to talk quickly about what the bishop has done. But, you know, I'm challenging parents to give that internal assent to say, you know what, I'm going to take a look at that school. I'm going to consider it prayerfully. Once you do that, once you command your will to make that decision, you're going to see God work in your heart and in your life.
It takes a leap of faith.
It does.
I would dare say this. My parents never knew where the next semester was coming from.
Exactly.
They really didn't. And I know we live in so much more of a financial planning era than when my parents did that. But
right.
I can remember even in my college days, I didn't know how I was going to come back the next semester. But I took the leap of faith and God continued to take care of me.
Yeah.
And today we can do the same. God has all the resources in the world and they come from the strangest places when you least expect
Amen.
Them.
Before we run out of time, I would like to hear quickly about the Bishop's Initiative and how it'll benefit the people who are considering Catholic education.
Absolutely. Well, there's going to be, like I said, we're quadrupling the amount of the Bishop's Scholarship for next year.
Okay.
And the way you can access that is call our office or visit our website, CatholicSchoolsForYou.org, CatholicSchoolsForYou.org. Visit our website, and there are instructions on there about how to fill out what we call a PSAS form. It's Private School Aid Service. It's a third party. You fill out the little financial aid form. It goes off to the third party. It evaluates your level of need
okay.
as a family.
Okay.
Kind of like the FAFSA.
Yeah.
It's very similar, only it's simpler. You send it off, it comes back, and we get a sense of the need that that family has. And then we're distributing that need accordingly back to the school where you're making application.
Okay.
So then when you go to that school, they can tell you exactly what your tuition will be with the help that you may receive or the scholarship, the Bishop Scholarship dollars that you'll receive. And if you're a current family and you haven't filled out that form yet, it's not too late. Continue to fill out that form. We're going to distribute these dollars and try to help families and meet the need to the extent that we can.
Yes.
And we're still planning to put into place some programs that even attract new families to consider. So.
Wonderful. You know, and we know that money can be a burden for many people, but in the Lord's way, he will always find how we can better ourselves in our Catholic education. And if we put our faith in God and understand that life could be a struggle, still, regardless of even if you get a grant or not, it still requires a faithful struggle on your part to bring your children to that faith. Because your children need to see the struggle. They need to understand that this is really something you desire for them in a deep and profound way. And what a beautiful gift that is. You know, Aunt Anna, you had to see that in your parents and think, what a beautiful gift they gave me, this Catholic education. And here I am today working now in the Diocese of Grand Rapids.
Absolutely. And the one thing I want to say really quick, playing off Dave's, is that even if our kids don't receive Bishop Scholarship money, all of the schools are willing to help. All you have to do is say to the principal, you know, I want my child to continue here. I want my child to go here. How can you help me make this a reality? And every one of our schools is more than willing to sit down and work with you so that your child can grow in his or her extended family
yeah.
and really have lifelong brothers and sisters.
In just about 20, 30 seconds, what would you tell a parent right now if they're considering Catholic education? Dave?
Don't wait any longer. Make the call to a school or to our office and find out who's near you and how to get connected. Set up a tour, and the kids tell the whole story. Our students make the difference.
Yeah.
Meet them, and you know, you can't miss with a Catholic education. You will never regret your decision.
Amen, brother. You know, I just want to reiterate to the parents listening today, the value of Catholic education, but not only the value to your child, but the value to your entire family, because it will lead you into a deeper and profound sense of God in your life and in holiness in your life, because you will be that family that will really be driven by the Lord Jesus Christ to understand that this is what he wants for all of his children. He wants the best. But again, you can't give what you don't have. And if you feel that you're not able to articulate the faith as clearly as you want, then let the community help you. Because it's what we do as a community. We help one another in our search for the Lord and in this quest for a deeper understanding of our lives. And once we come to that area where we can say, I understand who Jesus is, and I understand what he wants for my life, we begin to blossom as human beings and live this fullness of faith that we call the Catholic Church.
And amen.
What a wonderful thing it is. I want to thank you both for being here. It's been my privilege. May Catholic
it's been great
Schools
to be here, Jim.
Thank you. May Catholic Schools Week be a great success. God bless.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Been listening to Living the Catholic Life with your host Deacon Jim Thorndale on Holy Family Radio. If you'd like to listen to this program again or share it with a friend, audio copies are available online at holyfamilyradio.net. Thank you for listening.